the Free For All Roundtable.
Round two.
On round two today, let's say good morning to and News Talk 1010's Adjoa Insia Yabwa. Tamara Cherry is here from Pickup Communications, and Brad Bradford is a Toronto City Councillor. Nice to see you all. You're waving the flag today for the Maple Leafs, I see, wearing your Perfecto.
Yeah, good buds. I mean, I wasn't necessarily expecting the win the other night, but glad it happened. And now full gas, we're going to make the run here and do it in seven. So go buds.
Yeah. Well, originally somebody before the series began said Boston would win it in three. Okay, so let's set aside hockey for a moment, talk about more serious things. I appreciate it was not necessarily in the package, but I'm sure you all have a few opinions about the encampment that sprung up at the U of T. Adjoa Insia Yabwa, it's like it's contagious. You know, it started in the States, then McGill, and I thought, here it comes, and sure as heck it did.
Yeah, me and Tamara were just talking before. I'm surprised it's taken as long as it did. I thought it would probably be here maybe even before Montreal, but it's here. And, you know, people have the right to peaceful protest. People may not agree with what they're protesting about, but it is their legal right. So if this was in the 60s when they were protesting civil rights and also just women's rights, whatever the rights were, people did not agree. It was very unpopular at the time. And when you think about it, we might not agree with what's going on right now, but history is going to tell the tale of whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. But when you look at it, at the end of the day, if you look at the situation that is happening in Gaza and to just turn a blind eye and act like it's okay, we're talking about now over 30,000, mostly women and children, who are dead. So we can just say that people have their right to protest. And students are doing what they've always done on university campuses. So I say just kudos to them for protesting. As long as it's peaceful, I'm all for it.
Tamara Cherry, no denying that there are going to be all kinds of people who are going to lace into these protesters, say that they don't know what they're talking about, that they're anti-Semitic, on and on it's going to go. And, you know, Adjoa alluded to some similarities with the 1960s peace protests, and you can kind of see that, and especially in terms of the generational conflict.
I would not say that this is necessarily that similar to 1960s peace protests. We live in such a different time right now where communication happens so quickly and people are able to organize so quickly, but also I don't want to mince my words, but there's a lot of people out there who think that they are educated on certain things because they've watched a 5-minute TikTok video. And that is the world that we're living in right now. So I actually think that a lot of the protests right now are very different than what was happening in the 1960s. As Adjoa mentioned, I was surprised that it took so long to get here. But like I say to my kids, if one of my kids starts screaming, "Mama," complaining about one of their siblings, I tell them, I am not paying attention to what your sibling did right now. I'm paying attention to the fact that you are screaming. I don't even care what they did right now. So I'm just saying, if you want to have a protest, you want it to be effective, then I would say don't go the way of what we've seen in the States, taking over buildings, smashing windows, you know, creating barricades, because people are only going to be focusing on the fact that you are taking over buildings, smashing windows, putting up barricades. If we want this to be a protest or a peaceful protest, keep the peaceful in the protest.
Okay, and don't ask for catering. Brad Bradford, right now this is the U of T's problem, but it could become Toronto's problem.
Yeah, and I think there is a nuance there. The University of Toronto has been clear. They tried to get out in front of it and indicate it is, in fact, private property. So that's something to keep in mind. But I think the other panelists are bang on. Universities have always historically been places for peaceful protests. You called it all week and last week that we were going to see this sort of manifest here in our city as well. And sure enough, here it is. When I look south of the border, there's a lot of concerning activity. And I hope that doesn't migrate north here to Canada. You're seeing Jewish students being blocked from attending class. You're seeing anti-Semitic slogans. That stuff is not on. Peaceful protest is. And we have to remember what an emotionally charged charged issue this is. I think if it was Tamara making the point about TikTok education on very complicated Middle East issues, that's not helpful, but it is the reality of the world that we're living in. So recognizing this is red hot for everybody, peaceful protest is an important outlet, but as soon as it moves beyond peaceful protest, when it becomes violent, when it becomes targeting people because of their faith, that's not on.
Maybe we should thank our lucky stars that Noam Chomsky isn't on TikTok, because he used to always be graduates who were all coked up on Noam Chomsky. Okay, so let's move on. We have some audio we can play you. This is a new Liberal Party ad that compares Pierre Poilievre to Donald Trump. This, of course, erupting from the whole wacko episode.
They've gone wacko.
Wacko. Wacko.
This wacko.
A total wacko.
One wacko.
Wacko.
These socialist wackos.
He's a wacko.
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 Okay. Tamara, is this going to work? I mean, the Liberals are trying very, very hard and have tried for the last little while to say that Pierre Poilievre is Canada's Donald Trump, and he isn't really.
Well, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with the Liberals putting this out, because when you played the clip earlier in the show of Pierre Poilievre on with, I think it was Jerry Agar.
It was, yeah.
Right? He kept saying it, wacko, wacko, wacko. I am sick of the type of politics that we have right now, where it is all about getting like that, you know, red hot word out there and inflaming people and dividing people. The state of politics right now is all about clickbait and followers. Yeah, it's always been about followers, but you know what I mean?
Toronto.
It's playing to social media and it's not playing to policy. Enough with the politicking like this. And I say this to Pierre Poilievre, I say it to all politicians, but he's doing a lot of politicking and very little policying, talking. And I'm sick of the divisiveness that politics has become today, in great thanks to social media.
Although Brad Bradford, as a political strategy, it all worked, didn't it? Pierre Poilievre, I don't know if he deliberately tried to get thrown out of the House, but he did get thrown out of the House. And then he spent all day yesterday doing interviews that he would not otherwise have done.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if that was calculated. This stuff doesn't sort of happen accidentally. And then you can see that the calm strategy rollout in the subsequent days has, you know, gone according to the playbook here. It's already been a couple days. I'm already sick of hearing the word wacko, but Poilievre is a messaging machine, and these words are not chosen accidentally. I think it's very deliberate. Now, the Liberals have probably sat on this sort of stuff, and they've made the Trump comparisons for, you know, better part of a couple of years now. It hasn't really resonated. That is a pretty compelling ad. I don't know if they have money behind it to push it out there so that more people hear it. But at the end of the day, they are trying to determine whether Canadians are persuadable or will vote on the issue of, you know, is Poilievre a gentler, different version, Canadian version of Donald Trump? I wouldn't vote on that issue. For me, that's not a voting issue. That is the contrast they're trying to make. And, you know, we'll see if it's effective.
Angela, the Liberals have always made it a modus operandi to run against the negatives of their opponents, which you do in politics, but also to scare people. And that's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to scare Canadians because Canadians don't fundamentally don't like Donald Trump.
Yeah. And this ad makes sense for them, and to push back against his basically going across all these media outlets and using that word over and over again, as Tamara was saying. And then he did it to himself. So this is politics. This is what it is. But Tamara's right. This division through fear tactics is just not a good thing. It's not a direction we should be moving in. It really should be policy focused. But in the time where it is all about clickbait and your likes and how to get it out there, you do it through quick ads and through words that are catchy and that things that people remember, because people have no patience or time for anything. So they're just going to remember this little click. Pierre Poilievre, if you like him, he's the victim. He got kicked out. Vote for me, and that's it. And you just remember these little clicks, because everybody's not in tune to politics like us working at a news station or people that are news or political junkies. So it's very different. And unfortunately, in the time we live in, it works.
I would just be curious to see what happens after this. Like, wacko is not a word that I'm using in my vocabulary on a day-to-day basis.
Maybe it sounds like a Milton Bradley thing.
Yeah, it's sort of a joke. So what will be interesting for all of us now to see is how does that permeate into average, typical Canadian day-to-day dialogue. If you are not a fan of Justin Trudeau, do we start hearing conversations at barbecues or on the street? Oh, this guy's a wacko. This government's wacko. It will actually be interesting to see the degree it penetrates. Well, so
there's going to be a wacko flag right next to the F Trudeau flag. Poilievre is also, well, it's going to be interesting because he very strategically did not want to get his picture taken in front of an F Trudeau flag, but perhaps he would for the wacko flag.
Right, and so and that's kind of my point is it's done very deliberately, right? This is a very intentional language. It's not the common word that we're using all the time, but let's see to the degree it's widely adopted by folks that are offside with the Trudeau government.
So the OPP is going to start mandatory alcohol screenings during traffic stops. And Tamara, I'm going to come back to you because you have preoccupied yourself over the years with policing and public safety. And I'm curious about your thoughts because it's not that different from a roadside alcohol test, which has been cleared by the Supreme Court. But I think some libertarians are going to say, wait a second. Okay, so big deal. I was speeding. Now you're breathalyzing me?
Yeah, I have no problem with it. How many years ago would it have been? Oh, goodness. Probably 5 or 6 years ago, I went on a ride along with York Regional Police who were out looking for drunk drivers. And it was like shooting fish in a barrel. This was on a weekday evening, but I bet if we would have gone out during the day too, we would have found quite a few. It is such an awful problem that not only takes lives but alters lives forever. I don't need to point to certain cases in the GTA to talk about how awful it is. And you know what? If I'm speeding, I'm already speeding. I've already broken the law. You want me to breathe in the straw? Fine. I don't have a problem with it at all. And I will also point out that here in Saskatchewan, Regina Police Service and then I think RCMP Saskatchewan rolled out the same thing a few months ago. I think with Regina Police, it was just a month-long thing. And there was a lot of talk about it on talk radio. A lot of people calling in, though, saying, you know what, if this could potentially save a life, who cares? I heard Robert this morning saying, you know, these things aren't always accurate. I haven't Googled it this morning, but if I remember correctly, I think they're like 99.9% accurate. So if you've had alcohol, it's going to detect it, and particularly if you've had a lot of it, because let's not forget that it actually takes quite a bit of alcohol to get you above that 0.8 and even 0.5 threshold that we have. So, I'm all for it. Spread it out across Canada.
But Brad Bradford, how is this different from, say, pulling somebody over for speeding and then saying, open the trunk?
Well, I'm pretty sure they're already allowed to do a breathalyzer. I do stop checks over the holiday season ride programs every year with Toronto Police, and they will randomly ask people to blow. It's not, I have to smell alcohol on your breath or see the empty in the footwell. That's not the situation anymore, so I'm not sure how different that is from what we already have, except 30% increase in impaired driving charges. That's alarming. I was actually kind of surprised by that, and I think it's just a good reminder. Even this announcement, hopefully, is a reminder for people, do not drink and drive.
Okay, and Andrew, you had Carrie Schmidt, the OPP sergeant, on set this morning, who was breathalyzing the on-air talent.
That could have been awkward.
That could have gone wrong. But it didn't. So, but when you think about it, when you look at it, it's a good policy. It should happen. If you are drinking, speeding, and you happen to be driving, yes, you should be taken away and taking your license away and all of those things. I do agree with Robert. This could turn into something that's a slippery slope when it comes to minority groups and just going after them in particular.
It won't. I'm sorry, Adjoa.
Just listen. Let me finish. So you don't think so? You don't think that in the history of policing, there hasn't been an abuse of policy when it comes to minorities? You don't think so?
I am not saying that. Obviously, there's been policies in place where minorities have been unfairly over-policed or unproportionately over-policed. But this is, I don't want us to jump to that immediately. Like I'm saying, I've been out with police, and I can appreciate the fact that I'm speaking from a place of privilege, obviously, as a white woman who's gone out with white police officers. But when you are doing a traffic stop, and especially like at nighttime, I've been there, you can't see who's in there. You can see that they're swerving from side to side. And the one that the ride along that I did, they were specifically looking for drunk drivers. So they were pulling them over for cause for these sorts of things. But if they make this a blanket policy where every traffic stop that we do from now on, you're speeding, like they have to have a reason to be pulling you over anyway.
Okay.
And I don't want us to be jumping to that immediately. And let's not get off the message of how awful impaired driving is and how just blow into the darn straw. I don't know if I can say the other word that I really want to, because it could save a life. And just, and how meaningful is that?
Okay, we're late for the news, but my thanks to you all on this conversation.
Catch the round table, round one at 7:45, round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning. News Talk 1010, Toronto.